Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with you this week. Good to be back in studio and having Sheriff Eddie Ferris from Putnam County with me. Hadn't had him on in a while. Good morning, Sheriff.
Always glad to be here, Ben. Good morning.
Always good to have him in. Update us on all the things his employees and department heads are doing. The Sheriff's Office is always busy. Of course, Putnam County's growing, and with that, the Sheriff's Office is seeing a lot more calls. And speaking of calls, how are the holidays for you? Was the holidays more busy this time or less busy than normal? And
you know, the holidays was about the same. It wasn't too bad. The bad weather we had just a week or so ago sort of put the call number on us for a day. I think we had 20 plus wrecks in about 4 hours. Thank goodness most of them was fender benders with no serious injuries. Yeah. But that put it on it. But pre-COVID, we were very busy.
Right.
Ever since the COVID, we've been working through that. But the volume has actually slowed down some.
Yeah. Well, of course, the weather, you speak of that last week, I was telling you before we got on, I was come up here to do some business before I thought it was going to start snowing, and it started snowing in Coolville about 9 o'clock, and I'm in a good vehicle, but I didn't have my – I wasn't prepared. I didn't have it in all-wheel drive snow mode. I had it in all-wheel drive but not snow mode, and so I'm heading back home in Baxter, and I got to stop by Baxter Pharmacy, and there's nobody coming, but I'm going at slow speed. It didn't matter. I slid in that thing, and luckily didn't hit anything. Luckily, like a race car driver, slid in perfectly. But that way, I mean, the weather, you don't know about it, and I appreciate what y'all do. You get on Facebook and social media, and basically you say, don't get out.
Yeah, we try to, and obviously we want people. We understand people have to get out. We know that. We don't want people that don't have to be out. Be smart about it and try to be very selective on doing that. And then we try to give periodic road updates, especially closures and that type of thing. The worst thing in the world is get out and go to a road or go to a section of town that when you get to a certain point, you can't turn around and go back because you can't make it.
Right.
So we try to continually do that and update that. Obviously, as things change, that constantly changes, but it keeps us busy.
Yeah. And you was talking about COVID. Of course, you know, pre-COVID, pre-2020, y'all had a lot of calls. 2020 came around, and we've talked about it, but, 2020 came around, and you had to do different protocols, and there are certain things you're limited to. Is it gotten any better? We're in 2022 now. Is your staff able to do what they need to be doing, or are they still limited based on COVID?
You know, we're pretty good. Things got better. It's been better a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to the COVID era. Right now, we're dealing with the Omicron, and as of today, I think I have seven employees out, seven deputies and employees that are out, which is not bad, but it's certainly a workaround. But we're taking all the precautions that we need to. We'll say this, Ben. Pre-COVID, we'd answered about 34, just a shade over 34,000 calls in Putnam County. And then since COVID, we've been down to about 25 something, almost 26,000. So we have been down some.
Right. Let me ask you this. Of course, you got deputies on the road. Do you have enough where you can put two in a car in situations, or are they always going solo?
No, they're always going solo. And ever since we've been here and you've been on the commission, y'all have helped me, you've helped me. But we've tried to get all-wheel drive vehicles. And we don't, do we use them all the time? Actually, no. But number one, they're safer. They don't skid and off the road, even when it's wet, as bad as just a normal two-wheel drive. And then when we do have bad weather, snow, and of course ice don't really affect anything, but the snow itself, we're able to get around and move around a little bit better. And so we're one per car. Those kind of call volumes, a lot of times what we do, depending on the call, obviously we'll have two deputies going to a call, especially if it's way out or something in bad weather, to make sure we're okay. But we usually have separate calls. We have so much equipment now, Ben, it's difficult to not have your own stuff in certain situations. So having your vehicle and having all your gear is vitally important.
Well, and we didn't talk about budget stuff, but now that you're talking about vehicles, I know last year we approved some vehicles, but they were because of COVID, they were so far limited as far as vehicles. Did you ever get to buy the vehicles that we budgeted for?
So we're still two or three vehicles down that we've never received since last year.
It's not because we didn't give you the money.
You gave the money, and we order them the very next day, and we have all that lined up. So when the budget passes, you know, we can just go online and put our orders in and make the call we need to. But due to the COVID and the workers up in the factories and all that, we've just been very difficult to get any kind of equipment. And so we're still two or three vehicles down.
Well, people can drive around Cookeville and Upper Cumberland and see the car lots. They're not full like they used to be. So everybody's having a problem getting vehicles. These, you know, these car businesses are probably hurting a little bit because they have no inventory. Well, public safety and other parts of government, they're trying to get vehicles. I mean, you have to have vehicles. You've got ambulance service. You've got fire. And even our Cessor property has to have vehicles to do their work. They can't find vehicles.
Absolutely.
So it's just all over the board. And so we try to budget to help that. But if the inventory's not there, there's nothing you can do about it. There
ain't much we can do except just order and wait and make the best of it.
So, well, maybe you'll get them in soon. I mean, that's something
I hope so.
I know, because when you're using a vehicle, I know you and your staff look at the maintenance cost of it, and if it starts getting up there, is there a mileage point you get to that you think, we need to stop putting this thing in service?
Usually about 4 years or 120,000 miles, they become very cost prohibitive. It really affects the maintenance budget when we start going past that. So we found that out. So we try to switch out every 4 years, if possible. Obviously, some cars, depending on where they're located out and what duties the deputy are doing, may have less, and we'll use them more, of course, but before replacing them. But once we get anything over 120, the cars start to nickel and dime us to death as far as repairs go.
Yeah, and I think when you come in office in 14, one of the goals you had was to have a fleet turnover, and that was working until COVID.
That was working, and we've been really good, thanks to you and the commission, and I keep saying that, but that was one of the things, and you remember, I'm glad you do, but we desperately needed a plan, and so we got that plan in place, and it's working very well. I mean, we're on top of most of what we're doing, even with COVID. They're coming in slower. We may be behind a little bit, but we're much better than we were, and we've got good, safe vehicles for the deputies who are actually answering calls and running emergency traffic, which was our goal.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned all-wheel drive. You're trying to get the best vehicles that are going to provide your employees the most safety and the people of Putnam County.
Right.
So I think that's probably an important goal of yours, too. So calls have been down with COVID, but you're still busy. You're still, still active. Of course, not only are you sheriff, you are now the Tennessee Sheriff Association president, sitting president over the states. It's a state of Tennessee Sheriff Association. And so that's another responsibility you've taken on because you were asked to do it and your peers elected you. How's that going?
It's going really good, and I'm honored to be able to sit in that role for it's a year at a time, so I'm really honored to do that. The other sheriff's thought enough of me to elect me, but it's going really good. We've been busy. The sheriff has across the state. We all have different needs at times, but we have the same goal.
Yeah.
And so, our new bills and legislature, and we would like to think we spend a lot of time trying to get good bills passed that would help the citizens of their county and law enforcement, specifically the sheriff and sometimes the jail and the juvenile detention that we operate. But more often than not, we find ourselves trying to just keep bills from passing that are not good for us. So we spend a lot of time. We have two lobbyists that are very good that helps us and works with us. And so that's been busy time, but it's been real good.
Well, speaking of bills, the General Assembly, and of course, I had Senator Bailey on a few weeks ago, and he talked. One of the reasons he came in was to talk about the special session they had, and they met for two reasons basically. They met for the Oval City, the Ford plant and production in West Tennessee, and they met to address the mandates handed down by the federal government on vaccines. And with that, coming with that, they also were going to pass some legislation or presented some legislation that could have affected the sheriffs. Tell us about that legislation.
Yeah, they very well could have. And so I think it was more, hopefully, an oversight than anything out of our legislature. I know Senator Bailey and Representative Williams here in our county certainly was not for this bill and certainly helped the sheriffs try to defeat the bill, which we ended up getting it defeated. But in the special legislature session that you mentioned, one of the bills that was trying to get presented was mandated that the sheriffs enforce all executive orders. Well, the sheriff does a lot of things. And let me back up. Having said that, on the executive orders, they was going to fine the sheriff personally $10,000 and then $1,000 each day thereafter for us not enforcing executive orders. And you say, well, Sheriff, why would you not want to enforce executive orders? Well, the sheriff does a lot of things and has a lot of duty. And most people know the sheriff position goes back way back in the 1800s. And it's an old law. And yes, we protect citizens, we enforce law, we run the jail, we take care of the courts, we serve warrants, civil and criminal. But one of the things people don't talk about is defending the United States Constitution against all enemies. And so my point being, executive orders are all not necessarily constitutional. And so we're very careful with that, and we are the sheriff. The county sheriffs are the people who stand, are the ones who stand between people trying to mandate things that are not constitutional, whether it be good or bad, to keep the people from having to abide by that. So that is a huge process. We all knew that. The sheriffs are very aware of that. In fact, CTAS teaches that in the sheriff's school. When you first get elected to sheriff, we go to a two-week school. Mm-hmm. Learning all about the sheriffs and histories and the do's and the don'ts and the things that's most important that we have to do. And y'all do a great job with that, CTAS does. But anyway, that was a very important bill that we got defeated. So that was a lot of work.
So basically, if that would have passed, any executive order the governor issued, if you didn't enforce it or uphold it, you could have stood a personal fine.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to be critical of legislation because we have legislators in place. They're elected by the people just like I'm elected by Putnam County and 8th District. And of course, Lord knows I'm not perfect. But that seems like a kind of a radical piece of legislation to try to pass.
Yeah, it felt like it was because you go down and talk to the legislatures and nine out of 10, if not 19 out of 20 legislatures certainly support the sheriffs. And their job and their duties that they're directed to do across the state. So it was a little shocking that we had to work on defeating this bill. But we did. We got it killed in a committee 7-2, and I can't even tell you the two that voted for it. But just glad to get it defeated and move on. And so we're all good and happy now.
That's good. Well, I'm with Sheriff Eddie Ferris from Putnam County. We'll be back after this break here on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I am in studio with Sheriff Eddie Ferris. Glad to have him here. Hadn't had him on in a while and got some stuff to talk about. We are going to talk about the jail and update later on, but left last segment talking about his tenure now as the Tennessee Sheriff's Association president. Started in July, and of course, the Sheriff's Association has an executive director. His name's Jeff Bledsoe. He's a former sheriff. He left Dixon. Is it Dixon County?
Dixon County
yes, Sheriff. Yes. Now he's executive director, and so that's a full-time position, and the sheriffs go on every year and elect a president, and they've elected you, Sheriff, as the president for this year. And part of your job is what we just finished talking about, working with your lobbyists and with the director and other sheriffs to defeat or support legislation that's going to help the sheriffs.
Yes.
So in your 6 months, what's the most common phone call you're getting from your peers across the state about their needs or their frustrations or something they're wanting to see happen that maybe either the legislature can help them with or somebody else can help them with?
So that's a hard question. But first of all, let me say the things the sheriffs try to do is certainly not about the sheriff himself. It's about helping the citizens in the county and the people. So those are the things we're looking at, but there's really two things to answer your question. The number one thing is concern right now at the moment is being able to hire and train and keep good folks in law enforcement. And it's very difficult to recruit those folks right now. We have at Putnam County have a great group of what I think is young men and women that are fabulous. Very difficult to find those. Mm-hmm. So recruitment and being able to retain those is two different things. Ben, is when you and I grew up, things such as retirement, benefits, insurance was vitally important. I mean, I heard that all my life growing up from my parents and my grandparents, you know, and it wasn't so much about the salary as it was for future. That doesn't seem to attract too many of the younger folks right now. So we talk about that a lot. It's more about pay on the front end. And so that is something that we're concerned in trying to figure this thing out. Most of the sheriffs across the state are, you know, 45 plus. So we have a new millennial generation that are younger, and there's some very good ones. I want to be positive about that because we have great young men and women in the military, and we have a lot in the law enforcement right now. But they think a little different than us older folks, and so we're trying to get our heads around what we can do to be able to recruit them, attract them, and then retain them. And I know you as commissioner, we've talked about that every year when it comes to pay and benefits, and that is a huge part of it. But we're still learning and trying to, I know we had met with the governor not long ago talking about this same issue, and they've certainly put a push on to recruit and draft some of these law enforcement that had come from other towns and really other states. Maybe had to do with this COVID mandates that they either retired or left early, and they come to down here to our great state of Tennessee looking for work. And so I know that's it's a concern and a process we're all looking for. So that's number one. The second thing is affects everybody, and it has to do with crime. And we've talked about this before, but 85% of the people that are in jail are incarcerated because of drug-related instances, whether it's directly or indirectly, and whether it's thieving to support a drug habit or whether it's selling or buying drugs itself or using. And so what comes with that is, okay, how fast did the flow of the drugs come in? And right now our concern with it coming over the border is just absolutely amazing of what it's doing to our society right now. It is at an alarming rate. Our meth use and our heroin and fentanyl have skyrocketed, which has increased our overdose death across not just Tennessee and not just Putnam County, but all over the country. And so I'm glad you brought this up because, in fact, in April, there were seven or eight of us sheriffs were supposed to go down to the border with Senator Hagerty and meet with those other sheriffs and try to talk about some things and see if we can't get smarter than what we're doing on some of the things with that, but and work with some of the federal government people down at the border. So, but that's a huge concern because that affects all of us.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought it. I mean, I'm glad, Ashton, you were talking about it because we want to be as transparent as possible on this show. And, you know, let's talk about the first one right quick. You know, I've been doing the working with CTAS for over 16 years now, and I work directly with the sheriffs like you. Their biggest thing with me is recruitment and retainage of employees. And so years ago, and I'm sure they did it before my time, but a lot of these rural sheriffs would say, you know what, I'm going to start offering sign-on bonuses. And so they would offer sign-on bonuses, $2,000, $3,000. And so a young deputy come in and the sheriff's office would send them to training and get them certified and come back and give them a big pay bonus, and they stay 6 months and leave. They'd go to a city police department, or they'd go work for the THP, or they'd go somewhere else, right, use that certification, and then leave the sheriff hanging. So then the sheriff started calling me and saying, well, can I make them sign a contract? If they leave within 3 years, they pay that bonus back. Well, legally, yeah, you can. I mean, you whatever. So they started doing that. Well, then they didn't have as many people sign on. And so it's not like the sheriffs are not trying. They're coming up with things to recruit and try to keep people there. But it's like you said, things have changed over the years, and you got younger people, and you and I are getting older, obviously, yeah, and yeah, you got young people come in. You got to figure out a way to connect with them. You got to figure out a way to make them feel like they're making a difference and they're important to you. And so they're going to stick around and realize there's great good benefits. And I am proud of Putnam County, the commission, and pay scale committee that work together, because this last year we changed the pay scale. We made it better on the back end and on the front end.
Sure.
So on the front end, we increased that starting salary so people would be more attracted to come. And the back end, we've made it where people can continue to get salary increases because of their service. Now we're trying to work on the middle part.
Absolutely.
And that's something we're going to do. But, you know, that it's tough to keep people and it's tough to find people.
It is. And one thing I might add, too, we live in a very good community here, Putnam County, having Tennessee Tech. And you know, we are the leader here of the Upper Cumberland, as we should be. Most things flow through Putnam County and Cookeville with that. And that also gives us a bigger pool to choose from. But Tennessee Tech really helps us here, being able to, they got a good criminal justice program over there, and it really helps us and helps me. In fact, I've got an interview in the morning with a young man that's graduated from here down in your neck of the woods in Baxter, and I look forward to meeting him and hope it works out. And those certainly are the kind of people we want to recruit and retain and keep here for the good citizens of Putnam County.
Yeah, and if you're trying, Sheriff, the way I look at it, you're more likely going to be more successful than you're going to fail with that. You know, the sheriffs will call me and just, we don't know what to do. They'll ask me, why do these deputies want to go to all these cities? Well, let's face it, cities don't have to provide as many services as the county does. Your function, your department's a part of a big old budget, a big old budget that you're sharing money with. And so that's part of, you know, we can't always pay as much as a city would pay.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and we have at least three other duties that the chiefs and police don't have to do, and we've talked about them many times, but operating the jail is a huge one. And you know this, but the jail is the biggest liability the county has, period. So that is a huge undertaking in itself. And then obviously taking care of the courts and then all the warrant stuff, civil and criminal, that is huge. And that's besides, we could talk about mental health transports and a lot of other things, but sheriff has a lot of duties. And most of the time, most sheriffs across the state, you know, are very limited on staff, and it stretches everybody.
Yeah, that's true. We got one more segment, Sheriff, after this break. You listen to Local Matters with Sheriff Eddie Ferris. This is Ben Rogers. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Sheriff Eddie Ferris from Putnam County. A lot of good discussion so far, and talking about some of the needs across the state of sheriffs, and we covered some good areas there so people can understand it. It's not easy to hire and retain people these days, but the sheriffs are working. And we talked about one of the things that, you know, the cities don't have to worry about is incarceration. You know, they don't have to put people in jail. When they arrest somebody, they take them to you. And so speaking of taking people to the jail, we're building a jail. What kind of update you got for the jail?
So that is going very good. You know, back several months ago, the commission, that y'all voted to appropriate the money to do so. So we're, those of you who don't know that, we're about to build a three-story, almost 500-bed capacity plus add-on to what we have now. So it'll be a separate building, but it'll be connected in the lower parking lot to what we have now, which will certainly help us out keeping it on site. Most people know this, but we have elevators and tunnels in our justice center there from our jail that goes underground. It goes over to the courtroom area, and the elevator takes them right up to the holding cell. So we have a very secure facility right now, and you know, that's much better than having to transport and get them in and out and move them around. That becomes a whole nother issue. So real glad it's being built where it's being built, and we're looking forward to it. We do have an ending date and a completion date on that. I certainly hope they can hold to that of September of 2023. So that's what we're looking at. You know, before COVID, pre-COVID, we were 470 some odd inmates in a 252 bed facility. And that's been going on for a lot of years, and that's what prompted, and certainly commission had some foresight and seen that was a need, and it's been a need for a while. And so, glad to get that done, and be certainly glad when that gets built and we're able to get that operational, and look forward to doing so. But that should take us several years down the road here in Putnam County.
Yeah, and of course, the process of building a jail is not easy. As you know, and not saying you've been frustrated, but it's been taxing for all of us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of testing to do. They got to test the soil, the ground, make sure the ground's stable. You got to dig, and they've done all that. I think all that's done. Is that right?
All that's done. Right now, currently, if you see some bulldozers and track coals and different things around the Justice Center there, we're actually some of the land that we county has purchased for parking lots are being worked on and going to be completed real soon. They're spending a lot of time right now in the last week or so. It will not take them long to get that done. And we also have roofing replaced going on to the jail and Justice Center right now. And so the roofers have our lower parking lot tied up, but as soon as they get that going and finished and completed, then you'll start seeing some work on the foundation and things start moving. So by the time March or April gets here, it should start looking a lot different.
Well, I know everybody's ready for that to happen because especially the overpopulation. You're not as populated now as you were before.
No, we're not. We're 300 and around 340, 350 right now. We are overcrowded, but we're not near as bad as we were. So,
do you have counties calling you wanting you to take their inmates?
We used to. I think a lot of the counties now are down just a little bit. And speaking of that, you know this, working for the state as I did for all those years, but you know, corrections is really hard to the prisons across the state. It's hard to keep workers in those facilities, mm-hmm. and if they can't keep workers, they can't open them. So there's a lot of sections in certain prisons that's not being opened, which, you know, obviously pushes the inmates back down to us. And but I will say we're very good partners with the state of Tennessee. We work together. There's some things I'm sure they would like for us to do different, and there's some things we'd like for them to do different. Most of that's out of each other's control, but we work well with them. And at any given time, Putnam County usually holding about 100 state inmates. I expect that to grow a little bit once we get a new facility up. And, of course, they pay us to hold those inmates, which is sort of a good savings program and can help us pay for the facility as we go too, so that'll
right.
be good.
Yeah, and if you drive around, I guess the state, you'll see those billboards from the Department of Corrections that we talked about recruitment earlier. They're recruiting and they're offering a sign-on bonus. Now, I don't know if there's a contract with that. I'm sure there is. I'm sure the state's got their dot their I's and cross their T's with that stuff. But they're having, like you said, problems with employees, so they're spending a lot of money on billboards saying, hey, everybody, if you want a quick $3,000 and we'll get you trained up and we're going to offer you this much money per hour, I don't know, it's $21, $22, I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. That's they're like counties. They're having a hard time.
They are. Everybody's having a hard time right now. And so we work well together. I mean, obviously, all the counties surrounding us, we've got memorandum of understandings, official memorandum of understandings. But truthfully, to be honest with you, we work with just about every county across state here and there, and sheriffs do on certain things. And there's times where inmates just don't work in Putnam County, and it may be because of a trial going on that they're involved in or whatever. So we're all always working together and helping each other out here in Upper Cumberland.
Yeah. Well, one thing else that you've strived on since you've been in office is accreditation. And you got accredited. What year? When was that? It didn't take you long, I don't feel
like. We got
like.
Accredited in the first time in 16,
yeah,
and then accredited again in 20. So we're doing good on that. You know this, Ben, working for CTAS, but it's very difficult for a sheriff's office to get accredited, and it's simply because of the jail and other things involved with it. I think we were the third or fourth sheriff's office across state to be accredited, and I don't think there's only six or seven now. So very difficult, but I'm very proud of that. And for those who maybe hadn't heard me talk about it before, accreditation is simply having the right policies in place, police policies that's been approved across the country of correct policing. We have those in place, and then not only do we have them in place, we follow those. So we get audited from time to time for accreditation purposes as well. So accreditation is good for 3 years, and then we have to be reaccredited. But we've got that done, able to do that twice since I've been here, and we hope to keep that going. But it certainly brings a professionalism and integrity and the things that the community wants and deserves from a sheriff's office that they live in and expect. The taxpayers should expect that. So we're trying to give them the best office we can.
Do you use that as a recruitment tool with people coming
I
in?
I certainly do. Yep. And I think most people that come to our sheriff's office and visit us and get online and look and see what we do, it doesn't take them just a little bit to differentiate between us and some of the other offices, not just in Tennessee, but across the country. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to do here in Putnam County. I get that I'm going to take the good and the bad being elected as the sheriff, but no way could I have done that if I hadn't had the help of the commission, and no way couldn't have done that with the good people we have here working as employees at the sheriff's office, whether they're deputies or administrative or whatever they do. They're very good. And then let's not forget the support of the citizens itself. We live in a great community. We talk about that a lot, but our citizens certainly support law enforcement and doing the right thing here in our community, and I'm certainly proud to be here.
Well, I hope they always do. I mean, we mentioned earlier we're growing. This county's growing. Probably going to be at 82,000 by the end of this year, and maybe 83 the way people are coming in. And with growing people, that means services grow, and that means you got to provide more services or more. You got to have more access to service, and so it's something we work on. Yeah. We're not complaining. We want to grow. We want to grow at a steady pace, but we're not complaining. However, it's something you got to constantly deal with.
We're always dealing with it and looking at the numbers. When that happens, you know, our biggest thing that I try to oversee is, you know, I'm a big component of being plugged in with all the federal task forces. And so a lot of our investigators and deputies are plugged in to the FBI task force, DEA, Drug Administration, ATF, Marshal Service. We work with all those agencies hand in hand, and we want to do that. And we keep an eye on everything because we certainly don't want violent crime to start rising in our area and in our county. And how that happens is let that get ahead of you and not pay attention. So we're constantly monitoring that. When those people come in here and set up shop from bigger cities and other states that think that they're going to come in and start committing these heinous crimes and have a free world added as drug dealing, as we just can't have that, and we're not going to do it here.
So. Well, I appreciate that as a citizen, especially in the western part of the county. One more thing we'll talk about before we let you go. Comptroller's come in, did audit of the county. Everything looks pretty good, and it has been for a long time. Your office is audit-free. Audit gets clean with audit, and of course, it's been that way for a while now.
Yeah, very, very good. Anita, people that does the comptroller here in our area, her and her team and Steve, they do great work, and all the people that they have come down. But yeah, we've been lucky. We sheriff office has a lot of pieces and parts, a lot of money flowing in and out, and just about every division within our office is different and have to have a different set of rules when it comes to the way money comes in and out and the way we send it over to the treasury and the courthouse and different things and the trustees. So it's different, and they're very good to work with, but you're right. The last 6 out of 7 years, we've been audit-free and zero findings here at the sheriff's office. And I'll say this, too. I'd like to take all the credit, but once again, it's the employees, and then it's also the other elected officials that have been able to work with them and Mayor Porter and all the others that whether it's Jennifer Wilkerson, a circuit court clerk, or Wayne over at the county clerk, there's a lot of pieces that we work together on. We couldn't do that if we wasn't communicating and doing what's right. So I think we've got a good team here in Putnam County.
Yeah, I agree. Sheriff, thanks for coming in. This year is going to be a busy year, as we know, for both of us. It's election year. So I know you're going to be tied up with a lot of stuff going on, and the TSA president again and running the sheriff's office. Election year, it's going to be busy. But I appreciate what you do. Appreciate you coming in. And hope you have a great weekend. And thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ben. It's always a pleasure. Appreciate the help.
Yeah, appreciate that. Everyone, I hope you have a great weekend. Stay dry. Looks like we've got forecast coming in, maybe rain and snow, but stay dry. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day have a smile, and we'll see you next week.